NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Wayday. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Wayday starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your cart.
Every style, every home.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right, welcome to the NFC South Division Preview Podcast. I'm Drew DeLuca, Editor-in-Chief of QB List, and back in the saddle with me today is Eric Smith, who has been an integral part of the success of QB List for many years. Eric, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Excited to go through the NFC South. I was doing some Pro Football Reference searches for Taysom Hill and Michael Thomas, and there's some interesting names in this division. So this is a fun one to kick things off here. But Drew lined up an awesome guest today. We're very excited to have Jeff Hasley from Football Guys with us. Welcome, Jeff. How are you doing? What have you been up to this offseason? And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Excited to talk about the NFC South. And what have I been doing? A lot of adding content to footballguys.com. I do a lot of rankings and such, so there's a lot of updates on those because that happens often. That's your dynasty, redraft, IDP, rookie, best ball, all that stuff. So that all takes time. But I've been doing that, doing some video editing and graphic design for the Fantasy Doctors. We just finished our annual injury draft guide. There's tons of infographics, and all kinds of stuff, especially injury details that you don't necessarily find in a lot of guides. So you get the doctor's perspective on players returning from injury. So it's a good read, and it's very informative. So I've been busy.
Yeah, sounds like it. Those are awesome resources. So listen, when you're listening there, go ahead and check those out. So let's go ahead and for now and get right into our NFC South preview, starting with the Atlanta Falcons. So some of the notable additions. So we have the quarterback Taylor Heinicke coming over from the Washington Commanders. And of course, Mac Hollins, or we should probably call him Jacked Hollins after the training camp videos we've seen. So I, as an Eagles fan watching the formerly stick figure version of Mac Hollins back in 2019, I was very surprised to see how jacked he really is right now. So those have been fun to watch. These training camp videos always are. So of course, the most notable addition in the NFL draft on the offensive side of the ball, the only real addition on the offensive side of the ball, of course, is the uber talented rookie Bijan Robinson from Texas and taken in round one. And the notable departures, we have Olamide Zaccheaus, who went over to the Philadelphia Eagles. And the only coaching change for the Falcons this year, Ryan Nielsen, the new DC, former defensive line coach in New Orleans. So there's a whole lot of free agent additions on the defensive side of the ball for the Falcons. So that's something we can get into later on. But there's no real changes to the offense or the structure or the coaching or anything like that. So let's get right into the big question here for the Atlanta Falcons. And that is, why does Arthur Smith hate Kyle Pitts, fantasy manager? Oh, sorry, that's not really the question. Just kidding. What does the addition of yet another first round skill position player, Bijan Robinson, mean for Kyle Pitts' value in regular redraft leagues this year? And will Desmond Ridder be enough of an improvement over Marcus Mariota to help transform Pitts into that stud that we all think he can be? Jeff, I'll kick it to you.
Yeah, sure. In my opinion, I think it gives Arthur Smith kind of a closer offense to what he had in Tennessee with Derrick Henry. And, I'm a little bit concerned about the lack of volume coming to Pitts and Drake London, if you want to throw him in there as well, just because I think it's going to be a very heavy run-oriented type of offense that we saw in Tennessee. So, I mean, Bijan is someone that I'm very high on. I think a lot of people are, and I think very few people aren't. And I'm really excited to see what he can do as a receiver as well, because it seems like he's doing a lot of, he's making a lot of plays in camp and as a receiver. And that, if he can combine that with his ability to just pound the ball and be a force from the beginning, shoot, Atlanta could go, they could go far. They could win the division if things turn out that way. And if the passing game even takes a step in the right direction, I think. But then there's always the defensive issue, and that could be their Achilles heel as well. But in my opinion, Bijan Robinson is to Arthur Smith kind of what Derrick Henry was to Tennessee.
Sure, yeah. And they sneaky good offensive line there too, a little better than people realize. So I think Bijan's really set up for success for sure in a big way this year. So let's go move on down to your Carolina Panthers, Jeff. So notable additions, of course, running back Miles Sanders comes over from the Philadelphia Eagles. Andy Dalton, I guess, is the backup now in Carolina, coming over from the Saints previously with your Bengals there, Eric. Of course, DJ Chark and Adam Thielen, two veterans joining a relatively young wide receiver room. And also Hayden Hurst comes over as well, former draft pick of the Baltimore Ravens, drafted higher than Mark Andrews, if we all remember correctly. Spent a year in Cincy with your Bengals there, Eric. So in the draft, Bryce Young, taken obviously number one overall from Bama, and then Jonathan Mingo, second round draft pick from Ole Miss, added to the wide receiver core, size speed guys. But notable departures, of course, DJ Moore went to Chicago in that deal that landed Bryce Young, as well as Dante Foreman, also headed to the Bears as well. He had, 900-some, I think, total yards last year. So doesn't sound like a notable departure, but it kind of is in that way, and from a production standpoint. Head coach Frank Reich comes over from Indiana. Thomas Brown, the former Rams assistant head coach, is now the offensive coordinator. Najir Averro, I'm hoping I didn't mispronounce that, is coming over from Denver as the defensive coordinator. So, Jeff, we all know that Bryce Young is going to be the man under center with Miles Sanders serving as that, no doubt about it, primary running back. And Hayden Hurst, of course, should be the primary tight end. But what should we make of the wide receiver situation? Who's going to emerge as the alpha? Is it Terrace Marshall Jr., newcoming veteran like Thielen or Chark, or maybe the rookie Mingo? What are we looking at, Jeff, here? Help us out with this, a little bit of a mess of a wide receiver situation.
Yeah, it sure is, isn't it? I'm not sure if there's going to be any wide receiver in Carolina that makes the top 40 or 35, but in my opinion, I think Adam Thielen's going to be the leading receiver in terms of receptions, and DJ Chark is my guy who I think will be right up there as a top fantasy producer on the team. In, as far as a receiver is concerned, I think they both could be top 40-ish, but anything more than that might be a tall order, at least for what I see now. I mean, I think they're going to run the ball a lot. I think Miles Sanders is a great fantasy commodity, as well as you know. But a little bit of trivia here, if you didn't know, after Carolina traded Christian McCaffrey last year, from week 7 on, the Panthers led the entire NFL in rushing yards to running backs. And we already kind of mentioned that a little bit earlier with Deontay Foreman, you know, kind of playing a role as well. But all of their entire offensive line is returning. So that's good. They know what Miles Sanders could do. I think they have a specific role for him. So I think Sanders is most likely the top fantasy producer for the Panthers this year. But as far as receivers are concerned, I think it's going to be Thielen leading in receptions, DJ Shark being the guy who most likely will be like the top wide receiver in terms of fantasy production. But keep an eye out on Laviska Shenault, a dual threat option. If we've talked about this before, is how the NFL is kind of a copycat league, and everyone's like, oh, let's find our next Deebo Samuel, right? Curtis, you've got Curtis Samuel as well, kind of in that genre. And I think that I think they like what they see and what Shenault can do. And we've seen him be a rusher before, as well as a receiver. His after catch ability is something to be noticed. I don't know how consistent he'll be, just kind of like all of these Carolina receivers. I don't know how consistent they'll be, but I think that he'll be making some plays. And also, too, I want to talk about Jonathan Mingo. I would say that he is probably the most athletic type of receiver, his profile is the most athletic on the team, but you know, might be a little bit too quick for him to come in and develop as fast as what they would like, even though they have the veteran presence of their coaching staff, as well as Adam Thielen. But it might just be a little bit too. I don't think it's going to take. I think Mingo's going to struggle a little bit here in year one, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. He's got great speed, breakaway ability, can make plays after the catch. We've known that he can make these tough contested catches as well. We've seen the highlight routines, but it might take a little bit of time for it all to come together. So I'm a little bit lower on Mingo this year than what some other people are. And seeing him in camp, yeah, he's made some plays, but I mean, he's not turning heads, I think, as much as what I think some people would prefer. So I think we might be a little bit premature on Mingo, but he's the future, and I think Bryce Young's going to kind of gravitate to him eventually, but this whole offense is still a work in progress, and it all kind of hinges on what Bryce Young is able to do. I think he'll have some growing pains this year, but I also think he's going to have some outstanding plays that are just going to impress us and shock us. So that's kind of how I make out the Panthers' offense in terms of fantasy production. I like Sanders. Their wide receivers are, you know, okay, but I don't really think that we're going to see any like top 30 producers here this year.
All right. So should I be pumping the brakes a little bit on the Terrace Marshall train a little bit? Because
I didn't even mention Marshall. I think he's kind of in the mix there. You know, okay. I see a lot of this offense kind of like I saw in 2015 with the Panthers, and how 2015, they went 15-1, went to the Super Bowl and lost. But you know, they had Ted Ginn. They had Philly Brown. They had Jericho Cotchery. They had Greg Olsen as well. And Jonathan Stewart, running back. They didn't have like this one specific wide receiver that just stood out. And I kind of see that this year. Of course, this is not Cam Newton. It's not the same offense. And, you know, but I don't necessarily see any one particular wide receiver just standing out ahead of the others.
All right. Awesome. Hey, Eric, why don't you go ahead and walk us through the New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, next up is the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, some key additions here in the offseason. They bring in Derek Carr at quarterback to replace Andy Dalton, who leaves for Carolina, as we mentioned. They bring in Jamal Williams, a little bit of running back insurance. We've got Michael Thomas as a notable addition because we have seen very little of him for the past few years. And, you know, Jarvis Landry, Foster Moreau, Jimmy Graham, there's some older names joining this crew. So in the draft, we bring in some fresh legs with Kendre Miller, Jake Haner from Fresno State, a quarterback, and A.T. Perry, wide receiver, out of Wake Forest in the sixth round. So that's most of the personnel changes in the offseason for the Saints. We did have Joe Woods come over from Cleveland to be the defensive coordinator. Obviously, they have a strong defensive head coach here in New Orleans, though. So I would expect this defense to be pretty solid again. So that leaves us with the big question here. After many prognostications, we now know that Alvin Kamara will be suspended for only 3 games. I think we had kind of seen, you know, maybe up to 6. So 3 is pretty light here. That said, if you had to take one of these running backs, Jeff, would you take Kamara at ADP, Jamal Williams at ADP, rookie Kendre Miller at ADP? Like, do you have one that you're fading, one that you're targeting? What's your preference here in the Saints backfield? Because we know it's been lucrative over the seasons.
Yeah, if I had to rank them, I would rank them as Kamara, Jamal Williams, and then Kendre Miller. And I think New Orleans is going to take it a little bit slower with Miller. I know he's a rookie. Everyone's excited to see what he could do. But of course, you know, he had that knee injury, that MCL tear. He had surgery. Apparently it was a grade 3 tear. So that's pretty significant. But I would say above all, I mean, you've got Kamara who has experience. You've got Jamal Williams who has experience. I think the first couple games we're going to see Jamal Williams be the guy. And it's most likely going to be him and Kamara, in my opinion, after Kamara returns from suspension. Maybe we'll see some Miller, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's also a scratch early on and just kind of work his way into the team, into the offense. I don't see him as being part of the game plan right off the bat. So, I mean, that's like I already mentioned, the meniscus repair, or excuse me, the MCL. He could have had a meniscus for all we know. We don't know that, but I don't see them kind of rushing into Miller this year. I see him kind of as a wait and see kind of guy and someone that we could look forward to in 2024, 2025, when their current incumbent running backs, you know, kind of fade off into the sunset. Miller's the kind of the future, but I don't necessarily see it from him this year.
Yeah, that was a lot of my notes on this too. I mean, Kendre Miller, like around ADP 144, like that's the range you want to take shots on. And I don't think you're going to burn yourself taking him there, but I agree. It's going to be hard to see him beating out Kamara and Jamal Williams for snaps when he's there. So I think Kamara really comes down to what ADP are we looking at? Like, I think on Underdog, it still shows him as around 88 overall. Fantasy Pros at 58. Like, I'm not drafting him at 58, but if Kamara's sitting there at 88, you know, you survive those first 3 weeks, you hope his pass catching improves with Derek Carr as opposed to Andy Dalton. Like, I think we could see a little spike there again. So, yeah, I mainly worry with Jamal Williams. Like, is Taysom Hill going to steal some of this goal line stuff? Yeah. Like Drew, would that surprise you at all? Yeah. Maybe like half of his goal line snaps are going to Taysom Hill as opposed to what Jamal saw in Detroit.
Yeah, I think you nailed that right there. Taysom Hill just kind of lurks, you know. He has such a high snap share in red zone situations that he's in his role, of course, as you know, is so varied that he's definitely a threat to steal touches and touchdowns from all three of those guys for sure. So let's go ahead and take a look at our next team, and that would be our Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I shouldn't say our because nobody here is a Buccaneers fan, and really, they're in for a rough season in the post-Brady era here. Notable additions, we have quarterback Baker Mayfield, who enjoyed a mini renaissance with the Rams last year out of nowhere when everyone wrote him off. So he parlayed that into another opportunity with the Buccaneers, currently battling Kyle Trask for the starting gig there. Chase Edmonds comes over originally from Arizona, but he's now in Tampa Bay. And then, of course, in the draft, Payne Durham from Purdue, the tight end in round 5, Trey Palmer, wide receiver from Nebraska in round 6, and a UDFA to keep an eye on, running back Sean Tucker from Syracuse. So he was on a lot of people's boards as a day 2 pick before the medicals came out on him with a pretty significant heart issue. Has been recently cleared and has been practicing lately in camp, so it's good to see him back on the field. So notable departures, Tom Brady, of course, the legend, the GOAT, is finally done and gone from the league. Running back Leonard Fournette still looking for work, and Julio Jones. I almost forgot he was a Buck last year, but he's gone as well. So there is some pretty significant things to keep in mind from a coaching change perspective. And Dave Canales comes over from Seattle and took a quarterback room that featured a veteran retread and a middling young talent, and parlayed it into an incredible Geno Smith renaissance in this year. He's inherits a similar situation in which he's being asked to kind of direct a sequel with Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask, who we mentioned was the default incumbent, was around 2 pick in 2021. So our big question, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are going off the board at wide receiver 30 and 31 respectively, which kind of seems disrespectful given what they've accomplished to date in their careers. And clearly Tom Brady's retirement is weighing down their value, but have we sunk too far? Are Evans and Godwin priced right? Or maybe we're too low on Baker Mayfield? And don't laugh. Okay. His current ECR is expert consensus ranking on Fantasy Pros is quarterback 32. So what's going on here? Let's go ahead and make sense of that. Is Brady's retirement weighing down the value of those two former stud receivers, or are they priced right? Are we too low on Baker? So we'll start with you, Jeff, and then Eric, you want to kick your thoughts in That'd be great
all
too.
Right. I mean, just looking at Baker Mayfield, I mean, he's kind of fallen down each year he's been in the league. Started off pretty well as a rookie and then just kind of went downhill from there. I wouldn't put a chip on Baker Mayfield. I don't see him as a good fantasy investment this season. He makes too many mistakes. He's not capable of taking over a game with his arm, really. I don't see a consistent passing volume from him on a weekly basis, so there's that. And there's also the threat of Kyle Trask just kind of, you know, maybe getting a look as the Buccaneers might attempt to either trade him, kind of get an idea for what he is. I would take a gamble on Mike Evans and Chris Godwin at ADP, with Godwin being my preferred option of the two. He's likely the leader in receptions, and I think we're talking about, as far as touchdowns are concerned, four or five, maybe six touchdowns from each of those guys rather than 8 or 10 that we saw before in the past. But, you know, Evans is an end zone magnet. So who knows? Maybe his is a little bit higher. I think Godwin would be a decent wide receiver 3 for your fantasy team. And of course, an even better wide receiver 4. One thing about Baker Mayfield, though, I want to say, he likes to check it down, which is good for the running backs, right? Rashad White and any other running back that might be on the roster kind of sharing duties with him. You mentioned Chase Edmonds and Sean Tucker. And Sean Tucker is someone that he may enter the fold here for the Bucs. I mean, if he's going to get a chance to kind of show what he's capable of, I'm hearing he's, you know, kind of a guy. I've heard him labeled as Baby Chubb in camp. You know, he's got adequate size, good speed, actually excellent speed and hands. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a former track star, a sprinter. So if he gets his number called, I think we'll be impressed with that. But it's all about, you know, where he is with the coaching staff and you know, is where exactly, what kind of role would he have? And you also got to throw Edmonds in there as well. But I don't know. The Bucs have a few fantasy pieces, but nothing that I'm necessarily too excited about. One, because you've got Baker Mayfield under center, and that doesn't really impress me much.
Yeah, and I have similar thoughts on the receivers. I'm not drafting them much at all, Evans or Godwin. I have a hard time saying to completely fade either of them, though, just because the talent is there. And like we mentioned with the Seahawks last year, like we saw so much talent in that receiving core, and it broke out with Geno Smith, the quarterback. I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but I do worry it's going to take an injury to either Evans or Godwin to kind of consolidate this work. So I think getting a chip on one of them isn't the worst thing in the world to see how it shakes out, but you know, you just look at the bottom five passing offenses from last year. You know, they're all right around 300 or 3,000 yards passing. That's a good 2,000 yards behind the first place Chiefs in passing yards, 1,500 yards behind a lot of other top offenses. So it's just really hard to have breakout players when your team's throwing for around 3,000 yards in the passing game. So I'm pumping the brakes on this offense as a whole. Not into Baker either. He doesn't really even have any, you know, running he adds to the table for fantasy. But I do think that maybe if targets consolidate, either Evans or Godwin could break out. I kind of don't know what to expect if it is Trask, which one he would favor. And it makes it kind of hard to pick between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are great solid takes. And I'm with you, Jeff. If I had to pick one of the two, I'd probably go on Godwin. He's another year removed from that knee injury. And at his age, at 26 years old, I have zero concerns about him returning to 100%. And when he was 100%, he was lights out. And I mean, granted, that's with Tom Brady. That was also with the version of James Winston that was in the Bruce Arians no risk it, no biscuit offense. So it's a different story here. So I do think pumping the brakes is advisable. But I do think he does have some fantasy utility as a wide receiver 3 or potential flex play on a weekly basis. So moving on to fades and targets. So what we're doing here is we're making an all-target team and an all-fade team. So we're starting with the all-target team. Who from this division can we not get enough of at their current ADP? So of all the teams, of the Falcons, the Panthers, the Bucks, and that other team, the Saints. So Jeff, of all the quarterbacks from those squads, who do you think is one that we should be targeting at their current ADP?
Yeah, wow, that's not exactly an all-star team of NFC South quarterbacks there with Derek Carr, Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield, and Desmond Ritter. I'm going to say Bryce Young here because we haven't really seen what he can do yet, and he's got that Alabama pedigree. He could be excellent. I mean, if you look at his numbers from Alabama, they kind of compare to what Joe Burrow did at LSU. You know, you've got, what did he have? Like 4,800 yards, I believe, in 2021 when he won the Heisman. I mean, you're talking about 80 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. I mean, that's solid. Plus, all the things that people are saying about him and his intangibles of being able to process fast, read defenses, understand, be coachable, all that stuff. It's like a coach's dream. But we haven't yet seen what he can do on the field in the NFL. So there's a little bit of uncertainty there. But out of all the quarterbacks in the NFC South, he's kind of the guy I would take a chance on. Now, I do want to say something about Derek Carr, because Derek Carr has not he's not finished outside of the top 20 every single year in his career. But he's only got one winning season in his last six years. But I mean, he's a top 20, top 14 quarterback. He's going to be in that range. You know, it's not exciting, but it's not horrible. So that's kind of where Carr is. And Young is kind of my guy who, hey, I mean, he could make some strides. I think fantasy speaking, his ceiling, maybe like a top 15 type quarterback. But yeah, I don't know. He's the guy that I'm excited about, and that he could be someone that could make a difference in this division.
All right, very fair. So running back, I'll stick with that one. I'm going to stay with the Panthers theme here, and I'm going to go with Miles Sanders. Now, you talked about him at the top of the show. He's still playing behind a decent offensive line, so he did leave the Philadelphia Eagles and left that nest of the top offensive line in football. But the Panthers are still a top 10 offensive line. They are no joke. So he's going to be in good hands there playing behind that line, and should see more passing game involvement than he had last year in Philadelphia. So I like him a lot at ADP. I think there's a lot of value. I think we used to call this the running back dead zone like last couple of years, but he's a guy that's going in at what was formerly known as the running back dead zone. I think that can offer you fringe run RB1 numbers at significant value. So he's a guy that I'm really targeting in a lot of drafts. So I've a lot of shares so far of Miles Sanders. So Jeff, we'll kick it back to you for wide receiver. Who are you targeting at wide receiver at current ADP?
So wide receiver is a little bit more of an improvement in this division. I'm going to go with Chris Olave and Drake London. And both of these guys are good route runners. They position themselves well. They know their offense. They're good at making contested catches. I like Olave a bit more than London, simply due to the expected pass volume that's likely coming from New Orleans as opposed to London and the lack of a high passing volume offense in Atlanta. But both are very similar skill sets, in my opinion. But Olave also kind of has that, well, we saw what he did last year, which was extremely impressive. Not that London wasn't, but I'd say that Olave is just on a slightly different level, and he's got the better offense as opposed to London. But I like both of these guys, especially their talent. And I think London could be a difference maker due to his talent and his skill set and how he kind of separates himself from other receivers. His, I already mentioned the contested catches, but his catch radius is excellent for his size. So yeah, those two guys would be, in my opinion, the better all target team there for wide receivers, which is pretty good considering the division's a little bit lower.
Awesome. All right. So Eric, why don't you take us through your tight end pick and then the all fade team?
Yeah, so my target at tight end is actually Juwan Johnson. He's almost free in drafts. You can get him in the 160-plus range. Some of this is because I don't want to target Kyle Pitts. I just kind of researching Kyle Pitts, like he's getting so much downfield work in a run-heavy offense with an unproven quarterback. Like until they start scheming up some easier touches for Kyle Pitts, I'm just kind of letting someone else draft him really high. But I went with Juwan Johnson to target. He had six games with four more receptions last year. He scored seven touchdowns, and that was with three games of Jameis Winston and 14 of Andy Dalton. So he had some pretty solid production there. He does have some competition in the tight end room, but I mean, it's 33-year-old Taysom Hill, who's more of a running back. Foster Moreau, first year on the team. Jimmy Graham, soon to be 37. Like, I just think Juwan Johnson is the player, especially in deep leagues. I just draft pretty much every single time when he's coming up in my queue. I just think it's a solid floor. He may not be a league winner. One tight end, you know, 12 team leagues, you probably don't need to draft him. He's probably a streaming option. You probably have a better option on your roster, but like, I think the floor is going to be really solid, and he's done all this without a quarterback like Derek Carr. So I think Juwan Johnson's in really good shape personally. I have him in a ton of dynasty leagues, and I think his stock's on the rise. We'll see how high it can go. He may have capped out, but I think he's going to be a productive player here. So yeah, Let's get onto the all fade team, though. Players we are passing on at ADP. I suspect we'll have a few options here. So, Drew, which one of the quarterbacks are you fading at ADP this year?
Well, I think collectively the fantasy community is fading all of them. So that makes this kind of actually a tough thing to do, tough call. So they're all kind of appropriately priced at ADP. So Young's the highest at QB 19. So I could go with the rookie there, even though he has that highest ceiling. So I think I'm going to call an audible there since we already put him on the all target team. I can't take Mayfield by default since he's already QB 32. So I can't fade him any more than that. So I'm going to settle on Desmond Ridder. I know he has that rushing floor that we typically love to see in a quarterback, but I think, like you said, Jeff, I think he lacks the volume. I think that's going to hinder him, his ability really to post anything that we would want outside of, you know, he doesn't have that ability, I think, to put up a huge game that's going to win us a week. So he's just a guy, I think, right now, and he lacks long-term job security. So I'm not going to get too excited about that rushing ability. I'm going to fade him there.
Yeah, I think Ritter's really going to have to lean on the legs. I mean, when I was looking at Kyle Pitts' stats, Falcons threw the second fewest passes in the league last year, nearly 340 fewer than the first place Bucks. So it's just the volume is just crazy, and I think a lot of it's going to go to Bijan personally. So, let's get to our all fade at running back. Jeff, which running back are you fading here?
So I'm going to mention a name that I already said, and that's Kendre Miller. As I already mentioned, he's recovering from MCL surgery. He has two capable running backs ahead of him with Alvin Kamara as well as Jamal Williams. I just see low volume for him in year one. There's no reason to kind of put him into the mix, especially coming off that injury. And with two capable guys who have more experience ahead of him, I just don't really see it. Could he have some decent games here and there? Yeah, it's possible, but I mean, I doubt we see him having any more than 10 carries in a game unless he really starts off like strong early on, if they give him a chance and he proves himself. But I just don't necessarily see that. I would kind of put that more of a lower percentage of happening if I had to guess.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I think obviously he's got this 3-game stretch at the beginning of the season when Alvin Kamara is out to kind of prove himself. Mm-hmm. So I would think the next few weeks in camp are really important for him. If we hear a lot of positive buzz and it sounds like he could play week one and it's going to be involved, then maybe I would change my tune a little bit. But yeah, if he can't take advantage right away, he could be buried on this roster for a little bit, I would say. So, okay, more Saints talk. I'll take the wide receiver position here to fade. I'm going to fade Michael Thomas personally. He's going around ADP 96, which actually isn't too terrible of a shot to take on a, you know, once elite pass catcher here. I don't mind it, but it's his age 31 season, Michael Thomas. We haven't seen a full season since 2019. I'm assuming he's the number two option behind Chris Olave. He's just healthier, fresher, younger, and he's very talented as well. So he's the number two option in this passing offense. And I'm never drafting Michael Thomas. I haven't the past few years, and I'm just kind of sticking with that. It's worked so far. So I'm just going to keep fading him. And there are just a lot of young wide receivers and running backs here in this range, ADP 96. I think they can break out, and I just don't see that happen with Thomas. So I would not be shocked if he has a few weeks here or there where he spikes and he scores a touchdown or two and you're kind of regretting yourself. But I think it's going to work out over the course of the season. So Thomas is my main fade. I just couldn't get myself to fade Mike Evans and Chris Godwin because I'm worried they're going to burn me. So, Jeff, what are you thinking about tight end here? Do you have any strong fades at tight end?
I got to say Kyle Pitts here because I know there's a huge contingency of people who really like Kyle Pitts, right? But I'm a little concerned about also him recovering from an MCL injury that he eventually couldn't really quite return from, had to have surgery. And now he's coming off of that. We saw some issues with him in training camp with his knee, not really looking that great of a gait in his route running. I think that's improved a little bit, but I mean, is he 100%? No, I don't think he is. And I already mentioned the lower passing volume in Atlanta with Arthur Smith. I mean, an Arthur Smith quarterback that gets 3,000 yards, that's an accomplishment. And I don't think that that is the greatest thing for Pitts, of course. You know, it doesn't help him. So based on where his ADP is, I just don't see the value there because you're gambling on him producing where you might think he could get, as opposed to taking him at an ADP that would be, you know, kind of advantageous or a value. I don't see a value with Pitts. So, and that for that reason, I'm out.
Yeah, and just I had a few other stats when I was going through him. Like, he was among the top tight ends in highest average target distance last year and air yards per reception. So kind of like I was mentioning before, they're taking shots to him. And I just don't trust Ritter to hit him on those. Like, I want checkdowns for Pitts this year. Just get him some easy catches. So I'm with you. I think he's going to have some spike weeks, but I'm not trusting him at his ADP to be a frequent, like, weekly tight end five. Like, I just don't see it consistently. So, yeah, I agree with fading Pitts as much as it pains me.
Yeah, he's starting to fade a little bit. I got him in a triple digits in an underdog draft recently, which was surprising to see. It was a super flex, so that's why. But it was pushed down a little bit more. But still, triple digits for Kyle Pitts, I'll take him there. But yeah, where he's going, I mean, he's going in the range where Darren Waller's going. So you've got some other options on the board there that you don't have the same kind of volume concerns. And you guys mentioned this earlier about Bijan Robinson taking a larger role with some of that check down work, some of that underneath stuff. And that's really, unfortunately, going to be a lot of the targets. I think they're really going to give Pitts that utility that we really, really want him to have. So let's go into the 2-minute drill. And that is our over under season win totals. And these are courtesy of from FanDuel as of Friday, the 4th of August, which is just a couple days ago. So let's go ahead and start with Atlanta. Atlanta at 8.5. So 8.5. So what do you got there? We'll start with you, Jeff.
Yeah, usually these numbers are like very close to what they're going to wind up being. And I think Atlanta is kind of like an 8 or 9 win team. So 8.5 is right there. I'm going to say under because I think they'll probably have 8 wins as opposed to 9. I don't know if there's any team in this division that's going to have more than 9 wins. That would be a shock to me. So I'm going to say under because I think they'll have 8.
All right, Eric, what do you have?
Yeah, so I want to mention this division faces both the NFC North and the AFC South. So actually not a bad slate of teams, I think, overall to be facing. I'm not that high on the Falcons in general compared to the narrative. I was expecting to pick the under, but I kind of like their schedule here. I think 9 wins is very reasonable. You're going to get some games against Arizona, Washington, plus the AFC South. So give me over Falcons, but like just barely, like Jeff said, like 9 wins I'll take here on the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys about the 8.5 being a really strong line because it's a referendum of, do I think Atlanta is a winning football team or do I think they're an 8-9 team? I think they're more closer to an 8-9 team. So by default, playing in this division, they could certainly get 9 wins. But I think the money move for me would be to take the under on 8.5 and assume they go 8-9. So Carolina, we'll start with you, Eric. Where are you on Carolina Panthers at 7.5, over or under?
I'm going under. I actually like where the Panthers are headed overall long term. I think they're in good shape. Blue skies ahead, but I think the Falcons are a step ahead of them for this year. I think it'll be a learning year for Bryce Young. We see even the good rookies, the first year is a little shaky at times. So I also think their schedule is a little tougher than the Falcons. They're really going to need to take care of the business in the division, I think, to hit the over on 7.5 wins. So sure, if they go 4-2 in the division, they could get here. But I'm going to take the under on the Panthers, and maybe they come on strong towards the end and make me sweat. But I'll take the under.
All right. I'm with you, Eric. I'm going under on the Panthers also at 7.5. Just too much uncertainty right now. You got a whole new system you're putting in on both sides of the ball. Rookie quarterback. I just think there's a lot more things that could potentially go wrong here to drive them under 7.5. So I do think it's possible they hit the under for sure. But I feel like the under is the safer bet there to go 7-10 or a little perhaps under that. So, Jeff, where are you on your Carolina Panthers?
I think 7.5 is a pretty decent number, but I think they're going to hit 8 or 9 wins. And so I'm going over. And I think the reason why is their defense. And their defense was decent last year, but now they have Ejiro Evero, as their defensive coordinator, who was a top 10 defense last year with Denver. I think they have one of the better coaching staffs in football. If you look at what their staff has and the experience that they have and the Super Bowls that they've been to, and they have a good staff and they're making some moves. We've seen that they just recently signed Justin Houston to help anchor the defensive pass rush with Brian Burns. They kind of needed that guy on the other side. I think he'll come in and give some much needed pass rush snaps for them this year. I think that'll help them out a lot. So I think defense is going to push them over the edge, and I'm going to say 8 or 9 wins. So that's over 7.5.
All right. Very good. So I'll start with the next one, the New Orleans Saints. The line is 9.5, which seems aggressively high at first, but then we realize that they're in the NFC South and probably the most talented team in the NFC South, especially on that defensive side of the ball. I think they have a pretty strong defense. So I'm going to take the over on 9.5. I might regret that decision, but I think that by they should. I think they could easily get to 10 and wins. Would it shock me if they went under and finished at 9-8 and won the division? No, not at all. So I'm kind of putting myself a little bit out on a limb here, I think, with the over. So where are you on this one, Eric?
I'm going over as well. I actually thought I'd be a little more confident heading into it. Looked at the schedule, and there are some tougher games than I thought there would be. I thought they had a little easier of a schedule, but I think Derek Carr gives them a really nice floor week to week. I think if they can go 4-2 of the division, they're in good shape. I actually, looking down the schedule, like that week 15 game against the Rams, it feels like a swing game for this number. Like the Rams could be pretty good by week 15, or it could be, I don't even know, Stetson Bennett at quarterback. It could be like last year. So I'm kind of curious to see. I feel like that's a big game. It's either a tough game for the over or a cakewalk, you know. So I'll take the over, not by much, but I do think they're the most consistent team in the division.
All right, Jeff, what about you? Tell us about the Saints and where you are on it.
I'm going to say under. Remember at the beginning here, I didn't think that any team in the NFC South would have over 9 wins. So I think it's going to be under 9.5. Remember, I also mentioned that Derek Carr has 1 winning season in his last 6. So to me, that says something. He's good, but he's not great. And is he good enough to get the Saints a winning record? We're going to find that out. So I think the Saints are, obviously, they're not where they used to be with Sean Payton at head coach and Dennis Allen kind of coming in. They've kind of gone downhill a little bit. I don't see this team as a 10-win team. So I'm definitely going under 9.5, and I would probably go like 8 or 9 wins for the Saints this year. Again, it's going to be a tight race in the NFC South, and I know that they have one of the better schedules for all of the divisions, but and I just see some growing pains throughout all of these teams this year.
Very fair. All right, so last we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is where Vegas also has them last. So, but their under-over is 6.5. So I'll go ahead and start with this one. I have the under on 6.5. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes necessarily. I think we have a couple other teams that are going to be jockeying for that. But they're going to be a dark horse, I think, in that race. There's a lot that can potentially go wrong with this team. So I have 6.5. I'm going under, which means we have a very long season in store for people on the west coast of Florida. So, Eric, what about you? Where are you on the Buccaneers?
Yeah, I'm going under. Since they had Tom Brady last year, they have a first-place schedule, right? I mean, they play the Eagles, Bills, and 49ers in addition to all the other games. So it's rough for the Bucs. Definitely going under. I hate to repeat it again, but it's really going to come down to their division games. And I think they would have to go 3-3 or better to hit this number. So I'll take the under. Lots of talent on defense, but I can't look past the quarterbacks here.
Yeah, good point about the schedule, too, the first-place schedule. I'm going to say under as well. I think that their ceiling might be 6 wins. So that's definitely under 6.5. I kind of see this team not tanking, but fading. And I think the fan base is also going to notice that this is not the Tom Brady Buccaneers. If they play poorly, especially early on, I think things could kind of get out of hand quickly for this Buccaneers team. So I'm going to say under as well, under 6.5. I think maybe 5 or 6 wins for them.
All right, great. So let's just do before we leave, 4 downs with our guests. So question 1 I've got for you, Jeff, is when did you start playing fantasy football? I know you go way back in fantasy. I remember you're an OG. I remember reading your things for a couple decades ago, I think, was the first time I read one of your pieces, I think, if I remember correctly. So, but I know you've been playing for a while. So when did you start playing, and who was the star that you remember from your very first squad?
So for me, it was kind of in the late 90s. After I got out of college and, you know, kind of was still in my 20s, I remember having ESPN leagues with Brett Favre, Steve McNair, Donovan McNabb, Eddie George, Keith Jackson, if you remember that, Carl Pickens, just a couple names that I had. I won a championship with Mark Bulger once. and the week 17 game, you know, just went off.
Just stopping you right there for a minute. I think you need a t-shirt that says, I want a championship with Mark Bulger once. I think you need to have that and just rock that wherever you go. People are going to just kind of fall down. And just we're not worthy.
Those were fun times. And it's good to remember back then. I mean, shoot. Let's see who else was. I'm trying to think of names from back then. Chris Warren. You remember Chris Warren?
Yeah. That's the Curtis Martin era too, right?
Curtis Martin's a big one. I'm thinking of like, let's see who else. I mean, Derek Mason.
Yeah.
I was a big Derek Mason fan. I love that guy, especially with leagues that involved return yards.
Yeah.
He was huge. So yeah, and for me,
Dante Culpepper too, right? Culpepper was big then. Yeah.
Yep. Culpepper was big. And he talk about someone who would really thrive in this day and age in the NFL. Cordell Stewart is another one.
Yeah.
So I played way back in that era, and it was fun, and I enjoyed it. And it was the only league in town was either like ESPN or Yahoo, or you had your own thing where you're looking up box scores in the newspaper.
Right.
Kind of pre-internet, and then like early internet stages. That's kind of where I was.
That's awesome. Very cool. So timely question here, since we're currently hiring some staff writers. So go to QBList.com readers for details on how to apply if you're interested. But how long have you been producing fantasy content? I know you've been at it for a while. And how did you first get your start?
So back in the year 2000, I started writing for a site that was called whodoistart.com. Now, I don't know whatever happened to him or the owner who handled that, but if you remember the internet back then, it was kind of an accomplishment to get images on your article. So I was in that era of writing. But then in a couple years later, in 2007, I was approached by David Dodds of footballguys.com to join the staff. And that was huge because I'm thinking, wow, I can take my hobby and turn it into like a supplemental kind of income. I'm in. Where do I sign? So I've been a loyal staffer with Football Guys ever since. So since 2007 I've been with Football Guys. So it all started back in 2000 when I was with whodoistart.com.
That's fantastic. So any passion projects or charities of choice that you want to talk about or promote?
There was the injury guide that I helped do with Fantasy Doctors that's now out. I designed the layout and I arranged the entire draft guide.
That's awesome.
So that was fun to do. I really enjoy doing that kind of thing. If you are interested in this, you can go to thefantasydoctors.com. Take a look at it. It's a $29.99 cost. So $30, it's not that much. There's a lot of info in there. You can also, if you put down, $20 on Sleeper, you can get the draft guide for free. So if you're new to that, you can definitely take advantage of that particular promotion. So check that out. There's a ton of graphs and graphics and infographics and injury, of course, news where doctors themselves who have experience with athletes are talking about the very athletes that we're drafting in fantasy, right? So they know what's going on. They have an idea and they share their opinion, and that a lot of people like that. And also check out the Fantasy Doctors YouTube channel. That's definitely something that is all the time just adding content. So I help out with that as well, doing the video editing. I'm part of the video editing crew. I guess if that's a plug, that's what I can say.
That's awesome. Very good. Okay. Well, that'll do it for the NFC South here. We'll stay tuned for our next episode in our division preview series. In the coming days, we'll be tackling the NFC West next. Until then, you can find us on that site formerly known as Twitter. I think it's X these days. Who knows, might be Z before next week comes around. We don't really know. I'm at Drew Delaware. We are at the QB List, TheQBList, and he is at Eric Smith, ERIKSMITH, QBL. So look for our Sit Start and What We Saw series on QB List. And also on Reddit via the fantasy football subreddit. Once the season starts, we'll be hopping there a lot. So as always, we're also available wherever you download your favorite podcast. Also look for us on August 19th. We'll be doing an AMA on that subreddit, on the fantasy football subreddit. Very, very excited about that. So thanks for listening, everyone.
They say plants like music.
Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Wayday. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar cards, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Wayday starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your cart.
Every style, every home.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.